This episode is brought to you by Manplow. Thanks, Manplow. Is this the Colton Orr?
John, buddy, how you doing?
What's up, man? Holy cow. Welcome, everybody. Another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I'm very, very excited today. I have one of the toughest human beings on earth, the one and only Colton Orr. Welcome, Colton. Thanks for coming, man.
John, thanks for having me. Great to be on here, and like to have a little fun talking some old, you know, war stories that we have.
Yeah, so when I was going through the list of people who I wanted to talk to, number one on the list was the only guy really to beat me up in the NHL Hockey League.
And Lyles, Joel, what happened?
Now, now this is a Major League heavyweight bout here. Scott is 6'8 and 270, and Colton Orr is in there looking up at a man for maybe the first time in his career. And down goes Scott! Orr caught him with a
and I was like, okay, Colton Orr, let's see if we can get him. And it's funny because I've never talked to Colton before, other than on the ice, you know, tell him to fuck off and he's a pussy and stuff like that. But I've never talk to him. So this is our first conversation, which, you know, we'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be great. But yeah, so I wanted to get Colton because he was the only guy. Well, I got Justin Johnson, but that doesn't count. And Colton was the only guy to really, you know, 100% beat me up. And so, Colton, can we just relive that day where you beat the tires off of me?
Well, it's funny because it was, I was talking about this with my wife, actually, Sabrina. It was the lockout year, and it was one of those ones, as soon as the schedule came out and we had Buffalo on the schedule, it was like, okay, they got John Scott, and this is going to be home opener for us, and, you know, what else are we going to do? So it's, you know, I started pretty much like training just for that game and for that fight. I had like marked on the calendar, and, you know, just one of those ones where you're ready to go, and that was like my wanted to get something going. And I remember we went pretty early in the game. I think I chased you down the ice or something. I'm not sure exactly how it started. But I remember you falling into your neutral zone and coming after you. I thought it was a pretty good tilt. And, you know, I go and I wanted to ask, and because I've never really done this before. And I got you with a body shot. And I want to know, was that what took you down, or was it like something, you know, like how did you view the fight?
No, the body shot dropped me like a sack of potatoes. I got hit right. I don't know what it's called, a solar plex or the stomach or whatever. I could not breathe for the life of me. So I went down to my knees, and then Colton, being the classy guy he is, nailed me again in the face when I'm on my knees. Because we were eye level at that point.
I was going to say, at that point, I think we're about even. We need to chop you down first.
Oh, man. It was good. Like, I thought it was, the fight was going good. We were throwing some punches, and all of a sudden, whack, in my stomach. I was like, holy moly, what happened? And I couldn't breathe. I was on my knees just like, I couldn't do anything. And the ref's standing there and you're skating off to the bench victorious. And I was like, no way. Like, he hit me with a body shot.
And the funny thing is, I've tried this before. I didn't throw many body shots, but there was another time, and it happened to be against another Saber, and it was Andrew Peters. And that one almost got me killed because I started to go like rabbit punches to the like solar plex, and it wasn't really landing. And he almost like took my head off because I was just like focusing on the body. So I was lucky this one worked because usually body shots aren't very effective in hockey fights.
No, I don't think I've thrown one in my whole career just because I just never really thought to throw a body shot. But after you did that to me, I definitely thought about it because it works so good. You dropped me.
I couldn't reach you, John. Wow. I couldn't reach you. I couldn't get enough. You know, you had a little bit of a height advantage on me.
What are you, 6'2"?
Yeah, about 6'2", yeah.
And then for those of you who haven't seen Colton, he is actually just chiseled from rock. He's just like the most jacked, strongest guy you'll ever see. So 6'2", but 220 probably, and just strong like a stinking bull. So he was not someone you would take lightly because I was 6'8", 260, and I was like terrified to fight you. That's why whenever we play Toronto, it would be you and Frazier, and I would always try to lean towards Frazier because when we played Toronto, they would always dress a heavy lineup. It'd be you, Frazier. You had Frazier on the back end. You had sometimes Troy Bodie and a couple other American League call-ups. And it was just like going to war every single time we'd play you guys. And I'm like,
yeah, okay. That's what we were going for at the time. You know, we had McLaren, we had Brown, we had Mark Frazier. Like, it was, you know, it was just stacked. Our whole game plan was to, you know, kind of, you know, scare teams. That was, and it's funny because, like, I remember it was always nice to have a guy like McLaren in the lineup. You know, I was, you know, I've been through enough of my career at that point where I could be a little bit more selective. So it was always nice to have a guy like, hey, you want to take John Scott tonight and I'll go after Coletta? Make good with that one.
You know, so sounds always good.
It was always nice to kind of have that, you know, that guy to kind of lean on, you know, it was to have on your team, a guy like that was always, you know, because he was willing to go anybody.
Oh, that guy fought everybody. And yeah, I was lucky enough to have that when I came into league. I had Boogie on my team for a couple years and he just kind of paved the way. And just, I got to kind of pick and choose, like you said, and Boogie would just take on the big, massive heavyweights, and I would just kind of take the second tier guys. So that's a huge kind of, what would you call it? A safety net to try to help you out there. But anyways, all right, cool. I also wanted to talk about the whole Phil Kessel incident, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't mind at all.
Yeah, it's funny these things happen with Toronto. So it was a preseason game. It was the second year, I think, of my tenure in Buffalo when we played Toronto in the preseason, and Toronto still had a heavy team. And they didn't dress you that game, but you still had a pretty physical lineup. And for some reason, Buffalo, they only really had me and a bunch of like little pests who would go around and start trouble.
Who do we have? No, because McLaren wasn't in either.
You had Bodie. Had Bodie, Devane, Frazier on D, Clarkson, if you want to call him a fighter. So you had four or five guys who could, you know, who could handle themselves. And I remember before the game, I told all those guys, because it was just me and my lineup. I was like, listen, if you guys want to fight, just come and find me and we'll be fine. And I think we were up 2-1. And then one of our little guys on my line, he challenged Devane, or Devane challenged him right after the goal. And Devane did a number on him. And I just was fuming while they were cleaning my guy up off the ice. And I remember going to your bench, and Carlisle was your coach. And I don't know Carlisle from the hole in the wall, but he just has one of those faces that I didn't like. And I started yelling at him, like, you prick. And I looked him right in the face. I said, you put someone out here, I don't care who it is, they're going to fucking get it. And so 2 or 3 minutes goes by, I line up, and he gives me a smirk, and he puts out Kessel. I'm like, come on. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? And I just said, all right, I got to do this. This guy's trying, he's calling my bluff. And so I looked over at Phil before the puck dropped. I said, Phil, heads up, I'm going to jump you. And the puck dropped, and I didn't touch Phil, but I tried to get him. And now you know what happened. So I just wanted to know what happened after that game in the locker room. And then the subsequent game coming up when we played each other, what was the mindset for you guys?
So me and Frazier sitting next, McLaren sitting next to each other. We're furious.
Yeah.
John, like, absolutely furious. Like, I'm storming down to the dressing room at this point, like trying to figure out something. Cause I'm so angry that I'm not in the ice. Like, I'm like, can I take somebody's jersey? I'll go out there in like the third period as like, you know, Bozak or something. Like, let's find a way to get me out there. So it was absolutely just like, you know, like, because one of those situations where you're like, you know, when you're sitting out there watching and you can't do anything about it, you know, they're going after Phil Kessel, which I thought the baseball swing was actually pretty hysterical coming from Kessel.
Oh, yeah.
And if if you know Kessel at all, like, he just would take that, you know, like, in stride and be like, okay, you want to come after me? I'll use my stick. Like, he just had that kind of mindset, like, that's fine. You want to try and fight me, I'll chop you down. I always remember when Kessel, he's been in a couple of fights, and he always would come up on top against whoever he fought. I can't remember his opponents, but obviously there were never anybody, and it would really be fighting too often. But when he would get after, he'd get all excited, so. You know, at least he had the smarts to use a stick against you. But yeah, as well as ones, John, where we were so mad at you, some of those ones, because like, I just try to think your mindset, though. Like, were you going to jump him, or was this like a thing where you're just trying to show that, you know, don't mess around with one of our guys? Like, you know,
yeah, I don't think I would have ever hit him. Maybe I would have thrown him around and just kind of, you know, I would have never tried to knock him out. But it was one of those things where Carlisle and me, like, we had an understanding. I'm going to fight whoever you put out next to me. And he just throws out Kessler. And I was like, man, it's the preseason. What should I do? Like, should I back down now? And I just said, you know what? If it wasn't preseason, I don't think I would have done it. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. let's make it interesting. So
now we mark the next game in our calendar.
Yeah.
We're gonna come after you. Now, was that the next game? Was that the game when I fought Coletta and you fought McLaren?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the next game, I think, on the schedule.
So we were sitting, this is about, like, we were talking, and I've actually talked to McLaren about this just recently and called them and wanted to, like, talk. And we were sitting in the dressing room and we had one thing in mind, and that was to fight you. We were going to come after you. And that's where we decided he's going to go you. And I don't know why I was going after Coletta. I think he was just a bystander that just happened to be on the ice at the time.
No, he's just got one of those faces that guys like to punch. I would have gone after Coletta too if I was on the Leafs.
I've always wanted to get my hands on him. That was always my kind of – so I was happy to get out there and try and grab hold of him. But it was just – yeah, as well as you mark on your calendar and you're like, we're coming. You know, you went after our star player, and we're going to circle that in our calendar. We're going to come after you. We're going to, you know, try and – you know, make sure it doesn't happen again. It was just that mentality. Yeah.
No, it's totally understandable. You know? I remember getting ready for that game. I'm like, okay, I'm probably going to fight three times and get speared 100 times. And here we go. It was just, well,
I got tossed.
Yeah.
Which was, I had a second shift. I skated across the club and I was gone. And then who else was on my line? Komarov, he got tossed. So McLaren's sitting there. He didn't get another shift because both of us got tossed. He had no line mate. So he's sitting there pissed because he didn't get another shot to get back out there. So he got his fight in. Now he's sitting there. And, you know, I'm not getting able to play because we're both sitting in the locker room. But, you know, it is those crazy, crazy times.
It's so funny how that works out. Do you think – do you miss doing that? Like, cause we've both been retired for 2 years now. And sometimes I think I look back and I'm like, man, cause I keep up with the fights, you know, who's doing what. And I watch the fights nowadays and they're just so boring and they're not entertaining. And then I'll go back and watch some of, like, the fights from the old days. And I'm not specifically saying me, but I watched a lot of your fights and you were an entertaining fighter where you just hauled back and just swung for the fences. You didn't really play defense. And it was just like, you think you're tougher than me? Let's go. And, like, do you miss that, or are you kind of past that?
Well, you know, John, it's one of those things where you miss the game. You know, like, it was such a, you know, amazing ride to be able to play in the NHL, and especially for guys like us, to be able to kind of make it, and we found any way possible to kind of get there. And it's not an easy road. Everyone knows that it's not an easy job to do what we do. And sitting there, and I even joked today about waking up this morning, like, having butter, you know, having, like, that nervous feeling in my stomach, and I'm going, okay, wait, we're not fighting. We're just going to go on the radio and talk, you know? So you don't miss that kind of feeling, the nerves sometimes that go along with it, especially later on after, you know, after doing it for so long, having kids, having a family, it kind of became different. But I do miss kind of going out there and having that competitive and playing the NHL and being around the guys in the room, and I think that's what's missed more than sometimes just the actual act of going out there and fighting.
Yeah. Now, what was your – I know my preparation for a fight. When I, like, just say I had you on the lineup in a week or so, my preparation would be to stress out for 2 days, not eat very well and not sleep very well, and just kind of be miserable the days leading up before I had to fight you or playing your team. And I just mentally mess with myself for so long. Were you okay with that? Because you grew up playing in juniors, like, you played out west. That was kind of part of the game growing up for you. Whereas I went to college, I never fought at all. Like, how was your preparation for the days leading up to a fight?
Early on in my career, I was crazy and did enjoy it. It was like one of those ones where, like, I think my first 2 years in the NHL, I had 70 fights. I had like 30 something.
Holy moly.
You didn't even have time to think about it. You were playing 3-3 on the weekend. and you're just getting up and you're going and you're, you know, fighting in the next game. You just keep going. There was no real time to kind of think about it. I think later on is it kind of evolved, and, you know, you started to have the internet and you started to have videos. And then, like, for my preparation, I remember near the end of it, I'm looking at fights. I'm going over every fight we've ever had or any kind of fight you ever had, or, you know, kind of leading up to, like, trying to, like, find an edge of some sort. And that's when you started thinking too much about it and started to actually sit down, like, then the nerves start creeping in. You start second-guessing yourself, and, you know, you want to get it over with. You're just sitting there. And it's one of those ones where, you know, it changed as you got older and the more you knew, and kind of as you went, that it started to creep in and get a little bit more, you know, not as easy as you got older.
Yeah, the technology really ruined it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because I used to sit up on hockey fights and just analyze every single second. It's like, okay, at the start of the fight, he tries to do this, and then he tries to do that. And then it's just like you end up just mind fucking yourself. And you really, yeah, then it just becomes so much like a job, and it's not even fun. All right, yeah, I agree with you. I didn't enjoy it once I started watching the videos. Then there was a time where I just said, you know what? I'm not watching anything anymore. And that's when I really started to kind of not like it, but it wasn't stressful. And I just kind of said, whatever, part of the game.
It was like, we were lucky to know if a guy was a lefty back when we first came into, like, the HL. You know, there might be a couple of VHS tapes out there on a guy, but you never check that. So, you'd be like, before a game, like, this guy lefty or righty? Like, righty. Okay, perfect. You know, it's like, that's all you have. You know, you wouldn't have this kind of, it became a specialty later on, you know. It was almost like we trained just for that. But sometimes we're just like, I need to be able to, be the strongest fighter, the best fighter in the league.
I think that's where the fighters really took a turn for the worse, where guys, like, it's okay, I'm going to train, and that's all I'm going to train for is to be a fighter. And it's like, well, no, maybe we should work on our skills a little more. Because I honestly, me and you were, and a couple other guys, were the last of the really tough guys. Because when I came into the league, every team had, what, one or two heavies. And then when I left, it was like maybe three or four guys in the league who you had to worry about. And, yeah, it just, I don't know. Because you could play the game fairly well. You were fast. You were, you know, not a liability to your team. And it was a dying breed, I think, when me and you were in the league.
But when you think about it, John, when you were, if you looked across and you're sitting there, okay, you're preparing for, say it was me or whoever you're going to fight that night, and then all of a sudden that guy gets scratched. How much easier was the game to play once that was out of the way? You know, like, our job was so hard when you look at it, because we had to not only prepare for, you know, someone trying to take our head off, but also not be a liability on the ice, play, you know, as much as you can when you get out there and not hurt your team. So it was like, well, it was one. So when you had a guy that, you know, all of a sudden you didn't have another fighter out there, then it was a lot easier game. You know, like, we could actually play hockey and actually play the game. I think people don't realize sometimes that, you know, how hard it can be to, you know, have to fight and play hockey, you know?
It's tough balance. You're absolutely right, because I don't think people will ever, ever understand that. Just knowing that when you go into work that night, you're going to get into a fist fight with a guy who's 6'4", 250. And it just is like this little massive boulder on your shoulder, like reminding, like, you're going to fight. And like you said, before you go, after the warmups, you go in the locker room and the coach will come in and write the lineup on the board of the other team's starting lineup. And he'll do the first line, the second line, the third line. When he gets to the fourth line, you're sitting there waiting, like, okay, who's on left wing on the fourth line? And he starts writing in the name. It's like, oh, he's not playing Jackpot. It's some like random minor league guy, like, sweet, I can play, I can do whatever I want. And it just, it's such a relief. You can just, like, sick. Okay, here we go. I'm not nervous anymore. You start, like, you're just in a completely different mood. But then when they do, they do write in, like, McGrattan, you're like, okay, shit. Or whoever it may be, you're like, okay. Then it's just like, okay, it's real. It's just so funny how, like, you can literally 1 second go from, like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous, to complete euphoria. Like, yes, I don't have to fight. Okay, this is great. It's so funny. So I was thinking earlier, Margano, go ahead.
No, I think it's funny, like, the way, you know, guys will, you talk to guys now, and I talk to, you know, different guys about fighting and that now, and a lot of us had that same feeling. You know, it wasn't easy. You know, everyone, I always thought, oh, I'm the only one that goes out there and is anxious about this for a fight. But most of the guys you talk to now, it's a thing. It was something that, you know, everyone was dealing with, you know, so you always thought you were behind because you're anxious, but it was something we were all everyone was kind of thinking that same thing.
I know the one guy who I was surprised, George LaRocque, you're probably good friends with him. You did Goon 2 together, right?
Goon 2, yeah.
And I was blown away when he would talk about how nervous and scared he would get and how relieved when the other tough guy wouldn't play. I was just like, you were like the scariest human ever. Like, how is that possible? It's so bizarre. And another guy who I was terrified of, who I never fought, he asked me to fight once, was Steve McIntyre. And I talk about him in another podcast where I was just like terrified of him. And you fought him, right?
I did. I fought him a couple times, yeah.
And what was that like? Like, were you crazy scared to fight him? Because he, to me, is like the scariest human on earth.
I knew him a little bit. We did, he came to Winnipeg a couple times for some hockey schools back in the day when we were young after junior and that. So I knew him a little bit, played against him in, I think the MJHL, the Western Hockey League. So I played him all the way through, and we fought. And he was one of those guys. His hands were so big that when he grabbed your jersey, it pretty much just took up the whole front of your chest. Like it would just. He's just such a big man. I remember doing. I did pretty well against him a couple times, but he's one. If he catches you, he's just got those big mitts on you, big farm boy. And it was just strong. He's a big, big human.
Yeah. And he's one of those guys where you can hit him in the face a dozen times and he doesn't even flinch. It's like, does this affect you at all, Steve? Or is this fun for you? He's just so massive. Another, have you fought John Morasty? He was the same type of guy where he was tiny and I must've hit him a dozen times. And he just like, I'm like, what's going on in your head right now? It doesn't even hurt. It's so bizarre.
I never fought him. Never fought Morasty. Who's the other guy that Morasty would always fight?
Yablonski.
Yablonski. Yeah.
Those two dummies. Yeah. They're so stupid. Those two. It's like, I think they were on steroids the whole time they played hockey because they just looked comical when they came on the ice. Their heads were so big. And I was just like, are you guys like, and they loved fighting, which was so strange. Like we fought for 3 minutes. It was so bizarre. No. Yeah. I had the pleasure of fighting those guys. One time we played Syracuse and I go out for warmups and three of their guys are sitting on the bench reading a newspaper. I'm like, why are like, and they're like, yeah, we're not playing much tonight. We're just going to fight. I'm like, holy moly. Like talk about mental games. Like I was totally terrified coming on the ice. I was like, oh my gosh, it was crazy. Anyways, enough about fighting. What are you up to nowadays, Colton? Tell us about you.
Well, it's, you know, I've been, I'm living here in New York. I got a, you know, wife and two kids and, you know, I enjoying that time getting to have that with my kids. But for me, I've stayed around the game of hockey. I'm doing a lot in the community here with the New York Rangers alumni and their youth hockey programs, their learn to play programs. But you know, I've always talked about how in hockey, how, you know, I always protected people. I protect my teammates and, it's kind of a job that I always enjoyed doing and you know, I was proud of what I did. And so now for me, what I've done is I've started my own kind of, hockey clinics and my own academy. So I started the Colton Moore Hockey Academy. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to teach kids how to, you know, protect themselves in life. And I'm not talking about, you know, teaching them to fight. I'm going to teach them how to, you know, make sure that they're able to, you know, take body contact and body checking properly and seriously, from a young age. So that when they, you know, do start hitting that, you know, not only are they ready to hit and hit properly, but they're also ready to, you know, receive hits, not put themselves in dangerous positions and make sure that they're, you know, well aware of themselves on the ice. It's one of those skills I think that's been lacked a little bit because there's so much emphasis on skating, stick handling and, you know, skill now, which is understandable because the game's changed a lot.
Yeah.
But some of this stuff has been taken away a lot where kids aren't being taught how to hit properly or take a hit properly because of all this emphasis on the skill. So, you know, you can lead to injury and different things. So for me, I'm just trying to, you know, help these young kids and, you know, give them the kind of tools they need to be able to kind of be well-rounded players and add to their game to be able to help them, you know, continue their career, especially once hitting starts.
Yeah, I think that's important because you look these days and there are a handful of guys on each team who know how to hit and they're fast and they're strong. And these skill guys, they used to be so skilled and slippery and talented when they were growing up where they never really needed to learn how to take a hit until you get to the show. And it's like, wait a minute, I got guys coming around who are super fast. They're agile, they're strong. And now you see these skill guys just get lit up all the time. And it's like, maybe you should have, you know, learned how to take a hit, because it wasn't needed when they were growing up. They were learning how to toe drag, do saucer passes, be slippery. Then all of a sudden you have like a Matt Martin or a Ryan Reeves or a Cal Clutterbuck buzzing around. They are just burying these skill guys. And it's I think
and especially now when you have no one to answer to anymore, you know, like you'd be able to have a guy where you would answer to me or Gratton or you or whoever, you know, and that would kind of tone the game down a bit. Now that's not there. So you get these guys that once would be scared to run around a lot more freely. So you do see these more big devastating hits. And so it's something that, you know, I've kind of taken pride in, and I do enjoy, you know, work with youth hockey players and be able to kind of teach them this and pass on what I've learned in my career. And, you know, hopefully it can help them.
You're giving back, Colton. You're such a good human. I admire you.
I know, right? Thank you, John.
Man, if I was there, I'd give you a big old hug. It's so nice.
Well, that'd be better than punch me in the face. So
one day, well, I'll do that. No, we'll do that later. So I was thinking the big hits. Did you ever get suspended in your career?
I've got one suspension under my career, and I've actually, I guess I was proud of it, but I cross-checked. The whole story behind it was, Donald Brashear fought Brendan Shanahan.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's one of those things where I'm not going to allow, kind of like you going after Kessel. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to allow Donald Brashear fight, Brendan Shanahan. So first chance I get, I go after Ovechkin, and they're up a face off. I come across the circle and I cross check him, in the teeth, and I knock out his front teeth.
Nice.
So, you know, if you ever see him smile, you can kind of see those teeth missing. But, so it's just one of those ones where I was reacting to them the way they, you know, went after our guy, and we're going to go after your guy. And I got 5 games for that one. That was my only suspension that I had.
That's not bad. So you didn't lose out on much money. I got dinged up a few times because, remember Tim Jackman from Anaheim? He went after Mark Edward Vlasic, and I went after him a few times during one season, and I think I got suspended 8 or 9 games because of him, and he cost me about a couple hundred grand. I was so pissed. And now every time I see him, I'm like, this flipping guy owes me 200 grand. And I'm just like, I missed out on the pension, like the next quarter by like 4 games. I'm like, you owe me like a bunch of pension money too, Tim.
You had to go collect on that one.
Well, it's just like, yeah, I was so upset. I'm like, this guy, because if they're going to suspend somebody, they're going to go right after me and you, because we're the easy target these days. But anyways, man, hey, I don't want to take up any more of your time. If anybody wants to get a hold of Colton, just go to ColtonOrHockey.com, right, Colton?
Yep, that's it, yep. And then
check it out.
Follow me on EnforceOr on Twitter and Instagram, and visit my website. You can get all the information there.
I like that, EnforceOr. He's so smart. Yeah. He's so handsome. He's so strong.
That was all my wife. That one, I didn't come up with that one.
You're smart enough.
I can't take credit for that one.
You're smart to listen to your wife. That's what I try to do. Just make zero decisions in your life. It works for me. All right, buddy. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. We should do it again sometime.
Yes, thanks, Dan. I appreciate having you on, and best of luck with your podcast and everything you're doing your post-hockey year.
You too, buddy. We'll talk soon. Colton Orr, everybody. This episode is brought to you by Manplow. If you haven't yet, go out and grab a Manplow. They are excellent for shoveling snow. And if you're in the market for a shovel, use coupon code JohnScott to get a nice little discount for your new shovel purchase or whatever else. They have a lot of other products. So check it out. Coupon code John Scott, Man Plow. Love it.